Welcome to the Taylorsville Times Audiorama, our periodical podcast which brings you stories direct from the pages of the Taylorsville Times. This is your host, Micah Henry. And now, we bring you sounds from the 17th Annual Alexander County Salute of Veterans, Memorial Day Service held May 30th, 2021 at the Alexander County Courthouse Lawn.
Present on. Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the annual Alexander County Memorial Day observance. My name is Army Specialist 5 Glenn Mays, and I'm honored to be your master of ceremonies for this wonderful event. It's been said that all gave some, but some gave all. Today we're gathered to commemorate and honor those who have made sacrifices in defense of liberty and to protect the freedoms that we all enjoy today. Some died on the battlefield. Others survived. They survived that horrible experience. They came home. They reared a family. They contributed to their communities, and they lived out their lives before entering their eternal rest. Today, we honor all veterans, both living and deceased. Being the 71st anniversary of the beginning of the Korean conflict, we will give particular emphasis to those who served during that engagement. So again, welcome to the 17th annual Alexander County Memorial Day observance. During these activities, veterans may render a hand salute at appropriate times. We thank the members of the American Legion Post 170, DAV Chapter 84, VFW Post 5466, and Post 10,000, and members of the Alexander Central High School Junior ROTC for posting our colors today. And we also thank Melanie Brennan, who accompanied them on bagpipes. We now welcome Christine Akers, who will perform our national anthem. Following that, U.S. Navy Petty Officer Dale Chapman will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. And Marine Corporal Jeff Carson, who's chaplain of DAV Chapter 84, will offer our invocation.
Join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all. Bow our heads at this time. Almighty and everlasting God, you are the creator of us all. As we come together under your watchful eye, today we mourn the dead but honor the memory of the men and women that has given their life in the air, on land, or the seas around the world. Dear God, continue to give comfort and strength
to the loved ones who are left here on this earth that mourn their loss. Help us all to remember their sacrifice each one has made, including the missing in action and the prisoners of war, and those who were laid to rest on foreign soil. We thank you, O Lord, for the freedom that we have today because of what they gave then. Help us to live our lives worthy of the sacrifice that they made for us. And dear God, forgive us for taking this freedom for granted. And dear God, be with all the world leaders, our country's government, as well as our local and county government and leaders in this county, that they will make godly decisions, and let us all pray for peace on earth. Continue to be with all service men and women around the world and to keep them safe. May the Holy Spirit continue to live in us, that we may be a light in this dark world. In the sacrifice of all sacrifices, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Navy Lieutenant Herb Poole will present a brief history about the Korean conflict, including those from Alexander County who died.
It was December 1850. The snow was swirling and the thermometer was at 25 degrees below zero. The tanks and trucks had to be kept running or else their oil would congeal. About this time, the captain ran up to his commander and explained, "Sir, do you know they've cut us off? We're entirely surrounded." The commander replied, "Those poor bastards, we've got them just where we want them. We can shoot in any direction now." The commander was 52-year-old Marine Colonel Lewis Chesty Puller. He was in the process of winning his fifth Navy Cross, the nation's second highest award. The Korean War began with a little warning at dawn on Sunday, June 25th, 1950. When 75,000 troops from the North Korea People's Army poured across the 38th parallel into South Korea. Before the invasion, Korea had not been included in the strategic Asian defense perimeter outlined by Secretary of State Dean Acheson. The North Koreans took this as a green light to invade. Military strategists had been more concerned with security in Europe. But the U.S. was worried that a war in Korea would quickly widen into another world war if this aggression was not checked. The South Korean army did not have any tanks or heavy artillery that could stop such an attack, and their army was routed within a few days. The Truman administration was caught ill-prepared. Following the Security Council approval for the use of force, the U.S. immediately began using the forces that were available to it in the Far East. The disarmament undertaken following the end of World War II left the U.S. woefully short of naval and air forces in the area. The battle-hardened troops of World War II had either been discharged or sent home for a well-earned break. Due to the post-war drawdown, the reduction in military spending, the only ground forces left in the area that could be used to try to stop the North Korean attack were the occupation forces in Japan that mostly consisted of untrained and ill-equipped soldiers. It was into this fray that Private Carly Atwell White was thrown in the first week of July, 1950. Private Carly Atwell White was the son of Mr. and Mrs. William L. White and was born on January the 12th, 1931. He joined the Army in June 1949 and took his basic training at Fort Jackson, South Carolina, and then went to infantry training at Fort Pope. Upon completion of this, he was assigned to the 34th Infantry Regiment, 24th Infantry Division at Kyushu, Japan, as part of the occupation forces. These were under the command of General Douglas MacArthur. While in Japan, there was a shooting competition between the units stationed there. Private Carly White was the first alternate sharpshooter for the 24th Infantry and had been scheduled to compete in Hawaii on the 5th of July, 1950, along with his fellow marksmen from the other units. On July 5th, 1950, the entire 24th Infantry, along with the 35th Division, were loaded up and sent to Korea through the port of Pusan. They were designed to be a blocking force to try and slow down the North Korean advance. The Battle of Pusan, the first significant American engagement of the Korean War, involved the 540-soldier Task Force Smith, which was a small forward element of the 24th Infantry Division. On 5 July 1950, Task Force Smith attacked the North Koreans at Osan, but without weapons capable of destroying North Korean tanks or other heavy equipment, they failed. The North Koreans progressed southward, pushing back the U.S. force. On July 7, 1950, Private White, along with many others, were killed in action. During the initial stage of the war, the 24th Division suffered 3,602 dead. 296 were captured, including the division's commander, Major William F. Dean, who would later be awarded the Medal of Honor. Army Major General Floyd L. Parks stated that many who never lived to tell the tale had to fight the full range of ground warfare from offensive to delaying action, unit by unit, man by man. The 35th Division suffered almost 10,000 casualties before being removed from the front 3 months later, and it was assigned a rear guard duty until replacements and new equipment could be shipped in from the United States. A few weeks later, after being informed of their son's death, a personal letter arrived from General Douglas MacArthur. The letter stated that he was shocked by the death of Private White. And as MacArthur knew White personally, as he was one of the best marksmen in the division, MacArthur expressed sincere sympathy to the family for their loss. Private White was the first North Carolinian killed in action during the Korean War. He was only 19 years old. He was awarded the Purple Heart. Corporal William Clifford Brown was born in Hidnight in 1932. He was the son of Mr. and Mrs. Clarence Brown of Taylorsville Route 2 and attended Hidnight School before entering the service in 1949. He was a member of the 38th Infantry Regiment, 2nd Infantry Division of the United States Army. He was killed on February the 12th, 1951 in action by a sniper. He was driving a Jeep and fighting a delaying action near the Haesong, South Korea battlefront. The Battle of Haesong was a battle during the Korean War that took place between 11 and 15 February 1951 as part of the renewed Chinese assault on the UN strongholds in Korea. The Chinese were victorious in this battle, having inflicted heavy casualties to the Allied UN forces in 2 days of hard fighting. South Korean soldiers were ordered to lead the assault, and the U.S. was ordered to support them and not lead at this time. After the Chinese offensive began, retreating South Korean soldiers streamed south past the U.S. supporting forces, allowing the Chinese to flank the American positions. Soon the Chinese owned the narrow, twisting valley north of Haesong and the road that ran through it. It was the only escape route. Hundreds of U.S. soldiers, including field artillerymen, infantry, and logistics soldiers, were killed by the Chinese forces, resulting in one of the most lopsided defeats suffered by the U.S. military in the Korean War. It was during this action that Corporal Brown was killed. He was awarded the Purple Heart, Korean Service Medal, Korean Presidential Unit Citation, the United Nations Service Medal, and the Korean Service Medal. He was 19 years old, and he's buried at White Plains Baptist Church Cemetery and is survived by his sister, Sue Brown Woodard. Corporal James Waitzel Wyke of Taylorville was born on 21 July 1929 to John Roby Wyke and Cora Harrington Wyke. He was a medic with the 31st Infantry Regiment, 7th Division of the U.S. Army. On October 14, 1952, at 0400, following 2 days of preliminary airstrikes, the Allied bombardment intensified across the 30-kilometer front held by the Chinese 15th Corps. At 0500, the 280 guns and howitzers of 9th Corps extended their firing range to allow for the Allied infantry to advance behind a rolling barrage. The concentrated bombardment succeeded in clearing the foliage on Triangle Hill and Sniper Ridge, destroying most of the above ground fortifications on two positions. On October 17th, the Chinese committed 6 infantry companies to a last-ditch counterattack. Their left wing drove the South Koreans off Sniper Ridge, but the U.S. defenders on Triangle Hill held firm. It was here where Corporal Wyke was killed in action while attending wounded comrades in some of the heaviest fighting of the war at the Triangle Hill Battle Zone on October 17, 1952. He was awarded the Purple Heart, Korean Service Medal, Korean Presidential Unit Citation, and the United Nations Service Medal, and the Korean Service Medal. At the time of his death, he was 23 years old. He is buried at Salem Lutheran Church Cemetery. Travis Buster Wyke is his brother and veteran of World War II, is still living in Alexander County. And just as a note of interest, Roe Campbell of the People's Drug Store received a telegram from the Army that Waitzel had been killed. And so Roe got in his car and drove to the family's house to deliver the message in person. Over the years, there's been some confusion about the number killed in the Korean War. Because the armistice on July 27, 1953 was signed by the generals in the area and not by the nation states, there has been no official end of the conflict. Therefore, the government did not have any official totals for KIAs because technically the war had not ended. 1.8 million Americans fought in Korea. 33,652 were killed in action. 92,134 were wounded. 7,747 are still listed as missing or not accounted for. For years after the war, the Pentagon published the figure of $52,000 casualties as the killed in action figure. This included battle deaths and other deaths during the era, whether they occurred in Korea or not. In 1989, the Pentagon revised the number of Korean battle deaths. That's the reason for 2 names on the monument here at the courthouse who did not die in Korea, but died during the Korean conflict era. Petty Officer J.D. Fox was born on 24 December 1932 to Fred Fox and Lena Shook Fox. He was an aviation machinist mate with the United States Navy. He was injured in Kingsville, Texas on 3 June 1954 when an aircraft tire exploded while being inflated. He was rushed to the Corpus Christi Naval Hospital, where he was pronounced dead on arrival. He was 21 years old, and he is buried at Concord Baptist Church Cemetery in Alexander County. Second Lieutenant Glenn Jackson Matlock was born on 25 April 1929 in Hidnight to J. Brian Matlock and Virginia Harrington Matlock. He was a graduate of Hidnight High School and attended NC State University and graduated from Lenoir Rhine College in 1951. He entered the United States Air Force in 1952 and was commissioned to second lieutenant on 20 March 1953. He had just completed training at Cheyenne, Wyoming, and was returning home from leave on his way to his first duty station in Alaska via San Francisco. On August 10, 1953, he was riding with Lieutenant Lee Starn from the Bronx, New York, when the car slid on a wet pavement and overturned near Allentown, Pennsylvania. Matlock was thrown from the car and killed. He was 24 years old, and he is buried at the Hiddenite Cemetery. And just as a footnote, I talked to his cousin about 3 or 4 years ago, and I think she was near 100 years old at the time, and she was the one that described to me the events of his death.
Thank you, Herb. We have some very special guests. Some very special guests with us today. As you just heard Herb describe some of the things about the Korean conflict. And some of the gentlemen that we have here with us today were very much a part of that. They're seated right over here. If you would, I'm going to recognize each of you, and if you would, if you're able to stand, please do, but otherwise we'll understand. Benny Beber, hold your applause until the end. Benny Beber, A.R. Walker, Wade Childers, J.B. Deal, and Harry Robertson. Let's give them all a big hand. We certainly thank you all for being here, and we thank you all for the service that you have provided for our country. Thank you. Are there any other Korean War veterans present today? Thank you. One important thing that we do each year at this event is to remember and honor our Gold Star mothers. Being a Gold Star mother means that one of your children died in the battle. With us today is Diane Alberts, the mother of Sergeant Brandon Asbury. As our County Veterans Service Officer Cherry Kilby assists Ms. Alberts to the Veterans Monument over there, please recognize her with your applause. Ms. Alberts will represent all of our Gold Star mothers in Alexander County, and a wreath will be placed to remember those from our county who have died in battle. Now, in memory of those who have fallen since Memorial Day of 2019, Army Sergeant Chris Knowlton and Navy Petty Officer Dale Chapman will conduct the bell tolling remembrance ceremony.
Robert Sloan Adams, Stephen Gary Allen, Homer Allen Alexander. Robert Myron Anderson. Daniel Keith Ballou. Edgar Lou Banks. Joseph Preston Blankenship. Charles Marion Bonner. Harold Devon Bowman. Terrence T.J. Brennan. Roy Everett Bruce. Donald Garcia Carpenter. Kenneth Ralph Carswell. Albert Ray Childress. Flake Herman Clanton. Donald Clinton Clapp. Luther Martin Klein. Robert Fletcher Combs. Charles Copeland. Carlton L. Crouch. John Thomas Culver. Whitson Wade Davidson. Eli Davidson Deal. Herman Floyd Deal. Shirley William Dunlap. Roger Dyson. Billy Eugene Earp. Robert Howard Elder Sr. Juan Pedro Escojo. Douglas K. Foster. Jimmy Gregory. Jesse Ellsworth Grubb. Gerald Lewis Gwaltney. Marvin Eugene Gwaltney. Fred Curry Hammer. Harold Dean Hammer. Francis Elwood Hanna. William Bruce Harding. Robert Joseph Harlow. Barry Lynn Harrington. David George Harrington. Galen Blake Harrington. Guy Harold Harris III. Ronnie Charles Hartness. James Howard Helton. Davis Dave Hendren. Benjamin William Hines. Arthur Lee Holzclaw. Luke Reed Hoover. Charles William Houchins Sr. Robert David Ininone. Harold Devon James. Joe James. Charlie Columbus Johnson. Jerry Stephen Johnson. Kenneth Smith Jones Sr. Donald Junkin. William Norris Keever. Lee Kiger. John David Keller. James Howard Kelly. Linford Garfield Curley. Leroy Lackey. Sam DeWitt Blair. Stanley Curtis Little. Joe Nathan Lenny. Richard Gaither Long. Daniel Willard Loudermilk. Allie Ray Lovett. J. Lee Marlowe. John Alfred Mayberry. Sidney Viral McCoy Sr. Bill Ray Meadows. Willard Lee Meesemore. Thomas McNeil Memory. Albert Jr. Mitchell. Janice MacArthur Mitchell. Ramey Lloyd Mitchell Jr. Alexander Brooks Montgomery. Roger Dean Moore. Kelly Charles Morrison. William David Meyer Sr., Hubert Nance, Eddie Bean Nolan, Ben Nolan, Thomas Chastain Nolan, Irby Reese Norton, Ned Wilson Oliver, Robert Mack Oliver, Lewis Allen Owens, Kenneth Thompson Patterson, Kermit Crouch Patterson, Eddie Dean Pennell, Robert Doughton Pennell, Thomas Alva Philman Sr., Jerry Wayne Privett Sr., Johnny Ray Punch, Sal Rayo, Randall Ray Rector, Larry Julian Riddle, Franklin Delano Rimmer, Johnson L. Ritchie, Terry Edwards Roberts, Keith Arnold Robinette, Billy Ray Sharp, Gail Dean Sharp, Monty Dale Sharp, Graydon Eugene Sipe, Kevin Mark Sipes, Neil Edwin Stames, Troy Lee Jeep Sherrill, Charles Franklin Simmons Jr., Isaac Augustus Smith, James William St. Clair, George Stephen Stout, Mac Johnson Treadway, George David Swicegood, Richard Roy Walker, George Donald Wallace Sr., Buford Payne Warren, Foy Lee Watson, Robert Stephen Watts, John Roland Wellman, Charles Hunter Wells, David Quincy Williams, Michael Lee Williams, Jonathan Gabriel Woods.
We now recognize veterans by major conflicts. As I introduce each one, major conflict, would ask you to stand or wave or whatever, and make your way over to the table where we have a token of appreciation for you, for each of our veterans today. If you're unable to come to the table, wave to us and we'll bring a token to you. World War II. I think we do have at least one veteran of World War II here. Anyone? There he is back there. It's Earl Boston. Are there any other World War II veterans here? Any other World War II veterans? Korea. I know that we've got some here. Other Korean veterans? Vietnam. Bosnia. Any Bosnia veterans here? Okay. The Gulf War. Kuwait, Afghanistan, Iraq, and Pakistan. Yes, If everyone, all the veterans, would make your way to the table, we'll provide a token for you there. And if anyone needs assistance, we can provide that too. We can bring one to you. Are there any other veterans who did not receive a token? Thank you very much. Air Force Sergeant Andrew Ferguson will now share with us a Memorial Day poem.
"2021 also marks an interesting anniversary period for the American Armed Forces. This is the 160th anniversary of the Civil War, 11 April 1861. The 80th anniversary of the beginning of World War II, 7 December 1941. The 30th anniversary of Desert Storm, 17 January 1991. And the 20th anniversary of the Global War on Terror, 11 September 2001. I watched the flag pass by one day. It fluttered in the breeze. A young Marine saluted it, and then he stood at ease. I looked at him in uniform, so young, so tall, so proud. With hair cut square and eyes alert, he'd stand out in any crowd. I thought how many men like him have fallen through the years. How many died on foreign soil? How many mothers' tears? How many pilots' planes shot down? How many died at sea? How many foxholes were soldiers' graves? No, freedom isn't free. I heard the sound of taps one night while everything was still. I listened to the bugler play and felt a sudden chill. I wondered just how many times that taps had meant amen, when a flag had draped a coffin of a brother, of a friend. I thought of all the children, and of the mothers and of the wives, of the fathers, sons, and husbands with interrupted lives. I thought about a graveyard at the bottom of the sea, of unmarked graves in Arlington. Freedom isn't free.
"17 years ago, Ben Hines called me and asked if I would help him put on a Memorial Day program for the county. Ben is not here with us today, having fallen to the COVID-19 virus. But I think he's here with us today in spirit. Ben first began the Veterans Day dinners, I believe it was at the First Baptist Church years ago. He began putting flags along the street during the 4th of July parade at Vashti, and he was instrumental in the installation of the flagpole at the county government building and in the erection of the bell tower here at the courthouse. So if you seek Ben's monument, all you need to do is look around. One other person I'd like to mention here today, he wasn't a veteran, but he always supported veterans and helped them in any way he could. And he also fell to the COVID virus this year, and that was the Reverend Gary Jennings. So now let us take a few minutes to remember Ben and all the other veterans, and their family members and friends who fell victim to the virus over the past year.
On Memorial Day, it's appropriate to honor the memories of veterans who have fallen, whether on the battlefield or otherwise. Members of the Alexander County Honor Guard will fire three rifle volleys, followed by taps, as we remember. Please stand as you are able. Taps has sounded. The flame has been extinguished. May our comrades rest in peace. Present arms. Order, halt! Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your attendance today. We hope this observance has been meaningful, memorable, and helpful. Remember, freedom isn't free. The sacrifices made by so many have helped to preserve the freedoms that we enjoy. Thanks to the Alexander County Veterans Committee, the Veteran Service Officer Cherry Kilby, Herb Poole, and so many others who helped to make today's event possible. And thanks to all of you for your support for veterans. Please remain standing as the color guard retires the colors, accompanied by Melanie Brennan on bagpipes. Color guard, retire the colors. You're dismissed. May God bless you all and travel safely as you return home. Have a wonderful day.
One more thing. If you have a story idea that you'd like to hear in a future podcast, just email us. The address is news, that's N-E-W-S, @TaylorsvilleTimes.com.